Today's shir is Masecht in the Dorim Daf Yud Aleph, and we will begin at the Mishnah on Daf Yud Amud Beis on the bottom of the Amud. As we had learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that one of the ways of affecting a neder is through hatfasa, that if there is an item which is a dover hanoder, an item that became prohibited because of a neder, the best example would be a carbon, as we're going to learn. If there's an item like a carbon that's us, that is prohibited from benefit, and one goes and says that just like this item is a carbon and it's prohibited from benefit, so too this other item should become prohibited from benefit, that is called hatfasa, and that is a valid way of creating a neder. In fact, according to some Rishonim, as we said at the beginning of Masechta, that's the best way of creating a neder. The Ran doesn't hold that way, but everybody agrees that a neder can be articulated in that manner. Now, Mishnah Gemara now will begin teaching us the halachis of hatfasa. Says the Mishnah, Ha'omer lachulin sh'oichalach. If somebody says, what I eat of yours should not be chulin. So by saying it's not chulin, what does he mean to say? It's carbon. And therefore, he's essentially saying that this food should be like a carbon. Or he's saying, loy kosher. What I eat from you should not be considered kosher. And should be prohibited from benefit. And again, the Mefarshim go at great length to discuss who says loy kosher means a carbon, and therefore it's a dover hanoder. Maybe lo kosher means something which is not kosher, a piece of food that's not kosher, like a piece of pork, which is a dover ha'osur. And the halach is that when we're matfis, we have to be matfis with dover hanoder, not with dover ha'osur. So the Rishonim give two answers to that question. One answer is a concept that we've discussed previously, stam nedarim lahachmir. We typically are machmir when it comes to nedarim. So we could explain the word like kosher, meaning a carbon, or we could explain the word like kosher, meaning something which is not kosher. We're machmir, and we say that he meant a carbon. Another explanation given by the Rishonim is if what he meant was that it's not kosher, usually the terminology used for kosher food versus non-kosher food is osur umutur. Here he used the word la kosher, which seems to indicate that it's referring to a carbon. V'loy dochi, here too we have two explanations in the Rishonim. Either lo dochi is what I eat from you should not be fit, dochi meaning fit, that it should be like a carbon, something which is not fit to be eaten. Or another explanation is that loidochi, it should not be considered tohor. Where do we find a concept of tumah v'tahara by food? By karbonis. By karbonis, tumah v'tahara are factors. And therefore, it's another way of comparing it to a carbon. Tohor is the food that I eat should be tohor. So here the Rishonim have a question. Tohor seems to say that it's tohor. So how could I be comparing it to a carbon and saying that it's osur? I'm saying that the food should be like tohor food and I should be allowed to eat it. So because of this question, the Ran says that the word loy that the Mishnah uses before dochi should also be placed before the word tohor, since the word dochi and tohor really mean the same. So the loy goes on both of them, and he's saying that the food should be considered loy tohor, not tohor, and I should not be allowed to eat it. Another explanation given by the Mefarshim is similar to what we've been learning. Where do we find this concept of tumah v'tahara? By karbonis. So when I call a food tahor, where is it relevant if the food is tamay or tahor? By carbon, it's relevant, because if it's tahor, it may be eaten. If it's tamay, we know a carbon that's tamay may not be eaten. So by using the word tahor, it's another way of saying carbon. Or if I say the word tamay. So here to the Mefarshim discuss, why do we have to say tamay? If we already learned that loy dochi and loy tohor are ways of saying that I want the food that's in front of me to be like a carbon, so tamay is repeating the same thing. Why do we have to say it a third time? So the Mefarshim give a number of answers. What is a carbon? One answer that they give is as follows. What is a carbon? A carbon is a combination that it was tahor, and it could become tamei. This food is tamei, implying tamei. I'm implying that it was always tamei. That's not a carbon. So the chiddush is that even though it says tamei, it means a carbon. That's one answer. Another answer that I saw is that our Mishnah now, there's really three parts, the way to explain this is there's really three parts to our Mishnah. The first part of our Mishnah teaches us that when you say lachulin, which means loy chulin, or you say lo kosher, loy dochi, loy tahar, that's a way of affecting a nether. The next part of our Mishnah teaches us that there are cases where you could just say the word tamei, or you could just say the word noiser, or you could just say the word pigle, just say those words, and we say that it means something which is a dover hanodor. You don't have to say the word loy, and as we're going to learn in a minute, you don't also have to give a prefix of ki carbon or ki imra, different subjects that we're going to learn in a moment. So what the Mishnah is teaching us is that tamei falls under the same category as noiser and pigle, and you don't have to have any prefix. Just saying tamei, noiser, pigle is enough of a legitimate way of being matfis and nether. Another explanation that the Mefarshim gives is that by tamei, we could perhaps think that he doesn't mean a carbon. He means truma. Because by truma, as we've learned and will learn, tuma and tahara are factors. But truma, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shir, is not considered a dover hanodur. Truma is considered a dover osur. So our Mishnah teaches us that when the word tamei is used, and now I don't know, how do I explain the word tamei? Do I explain the word tamei to mean carbon, and it will be a dover hanodur, and it will be a legitimate hatfasa? Or do I say tamei means truma, which is a dover osur? It's not an acceptable hatfasa. Teaches us the Mishnah that the word tamei should be understood, stam nadarm lahachmer, that it means a carbon. Similarly, noisru pigel. Where is there something that's noisru? Noisru means that the carbon was left over past the time it was allowed to be eaten. Where do we have pigel? By a carbon that wasn't brought with the right machshava by carbonus. So the Mishnah is teaching us by using the word noisru pigel, what I really mean is carbon, and carbon is a way of being matfis, and osur will be a nether. If somebody used the word ki'imra, imra means sheep. So again, we assume that he means sheep that were designated for carbon, a carbon oila. Others say he refers back to the isle of Avram Avinu that he brought as the first, one of the first carbonists we find. And ki'imra, we say he meant a carbon. But here, as we're going to learn in the rest of the Mishnah, it's important that you have this prefix of the chof, ki'imra. Kedirim are the enclosures that there were in the Beis HaMikdash. And those enclosures, again, might have had animals that were used for kabbonis, or they might have had wood that was used on the Mizbeach, all of them being dover hanodors, items that were donated and would affect the hatfasa. Ke'etzim either mean the wood that was put on the Mizbeach, or we know that every day, shnei gezirei etzim, two logs of wood, had to be put on the Mizbeach. These were donated items, so they have the aloch like a carbon. Ki'ishim, a number of pshatim in ki'ishim. Either ki'ishim means the kabonis, but the kabonis are typically burnt. Or another pshat, it refers to the fire on the Mizbeach. Although the Mefarshim ask that the Gemara in Masech the Beis says that if somebody uses the fire of the Mizbeach, it's not considered that it was moil behegdish, because the fire is really not something shiesh by mamish, it's not really tangible. So Mefarshim answer, when is fire considered an item, she'en by me'ila, that's not considered an item that's hegdish, if you just have a fire. But if you have the fire attached to the coal, then everybody agrees that it's subject to me'ila, and that's what the ishim we're referring to, fire that's still attached to the coals. Kim is be'ach. Here too, it can mean either the kabonis that are brought on the Mizbeach, or can mean the Mizbeach itself, because the Mizbeach, how was the Mizbeach built? It was built with donated funds. Kehechel, if he says like the Hechel, so again, it could mean the Beis HaMikdash edifice proper, or it can mean that we know certain avoidas were done by spritzing the blood on different parts of the Proiches, of the Hechel, so they become a way of describing kabbonis, ki Yerushalayim, or if he says the word ki Yerushalayim. And the way most mefarshim explain is because typically kabbonis were eaten in Yerushalayim. So when somebody says Yerushalayim, he means the kabbonis that are eaten in Yerushalayim. Another explanation given is that it refers to the walls of Yerushalayim, and the walls of Yerushalayim were built from the Shiori Halishka, from donated funds. So Yerushalayim is considered a Davar HaNodr. There's an interesting Ramah. The Ramah says that, as he quotes these halachas, if somebody made a neder kishulchan, the halacha would be that it's not a neder. Why? So the Mefarshim explained, because who says he means the shulchan that was in the Beis HaMikdash? Maybe he means the shulchan that's in your home. So the Mefarshim try to understand the Ramah. When we say ke'etzim, we say he means the etzim of the Beis HaMikdash. When we say ki'ishim, we say he means the fire of the Beis HaMikdash. By shulchan, the Ramah is not sure. Maybe he means the shulchan that's in your home. Why is shulchan different than etzim? Why is shulchan different than fire? So the Aruch HaShulchan says a beautiful explanation. The Aruch HaShulchan explains like this. He says, fire, you have two types of fire. So either you have fire which is of the Mizbeach, which is Kadosh, and you have fire that you have in your home, which is mundane. Wood, the same. Either you have wood that's on the Mizbeach, or you have your own wood. Shulchan, there's really three types of shulchan. There's a shulchan that you have in your home, your table at home. There's a shulchan that you have in the shul. And then you have shulchan that you have in the Beis HaMikdash. He says, people, typically, when they use the word shulchan, may be meaning the shulchan in the shul. But the shulchan in the shul doesn't have any kedusha. By etzim, by ishim, there are only two options. There's either the extreme mundane, your own fire, your own wood, or the kodesh. By shulchan, since there's a third category, which is probably what he meant, and is not a dover hanodor, therefore, the Ramah says, kishulchan is not an effective neder. Continues the Mishnah, nodor be'echad become sham shem ha-mizbeach, if somebody made a neder with any of the vessels that were used for the mizbeach, again, these are donated items, so it's considered a dover hanodor, and it's a way of making hatfasa. Api shalai hiska carbon, in all of these cases, even though he didn't use the word carbon, and as we said at the beginning of our shiur, the typical and best way of expressing a hatfasa is by saying carbon, it's still hareza nodab carbon. All of these words are considered an equivalent of saying carbon, and it's a legitimate neder. Yehuda Omer, ha'omer Yerushalayim, if somebody says the word Yerushalayim, without the kuf, he just says Yerushalayim, lo yom klum. Because as we explained, in all of these cases, given that these items are not osir, they're not like nois or pigul or tamei, Rabbi Yehuda holds, and we'll explain it more in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, you have to have the prefix of ki. Ki edirim, ki eitzim, ki karbon, ki Yerushalayim. Without it, it's not acceptable. It's not an acceptable means of atfasa. There's a beautiful vart, a pidrush, from the Mazir Tzereba on our Mishnah. He says, Ha'oim Yerushalayim. There are a lot of people that speak about Yerushalayim. They speak about the beauty of Yerushalayim. But they don't do anything for Yerushalayim. They just speak about it. Says the Majid Sereba, Ha'oim Yerushalayim, if you just speak about Yerushalayim, but you don't do anything for Yerushalayim, you don't participate in Yerushalayim, you don't build Yerushalayim, Layam HaKlum, that's nothing. You have to actively participate in helping Yerushalayim. Savrua. So the Bnei Yeshiva, in explaining our Mishnah, there's a very interesting comment made by the Rishonim in explaining our Mishnah. Typically, when the Gemara throughout Shas uses the word Savruha, the Gemara is saying they thought this way, but it's not what the Maskana is. Here, the Gemara says Savruha, they thought that way, and the Maskana, the way they thought, is the way it remains. And it falls under the category, something that we've mentioned previously, the Lashon and the Darim Mishunah. Masechta and the Darim's wording is different than all of Shas. And therefore, here too is another example where the Gemara uses Savruah and it remains with the Savruah in the Maskana. My Lechulin, when somebody says Lechulin, what does he mean? Loi Lechulin Lehevi. What I'm eating should not be considered Chulin, El a carbon. It should be considered a carbon. Ask the Gemara, Mani Misnisen, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? I Rameya, if we want to say it reflects Rameya's opinion, says the Gemara, Lesle Mechlal Lav at the Shemeyahim. Rameya doesn't follow this concept that if I say La Chulin, it should not be Chulin. I should extrapolate, it's not Chulin, but it is carbon. The Tanan, Rameya Oimer, Rameya says, Call Tanai Shena Tanai Ne Gorb Ne Ruve, any Tanai that doesn't follow the Tanai that was by Bnei Gorim Nei Ruvein, we all remember the Bnei Gorim Nei Ruvein came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said that they want to keep their portion in the Eivar HaYarden. And Moshe Rabbeinu made with them a condition. Im Tavru Chalutzim, if you will go out in battle to capture Eretz Yisrael, you'll get. Vim Loi, he said, if you won't. So he said both the positive and the negative. So from there, Bnei Meir learns that you don't extrapolate. It could have just said Im Tavru. If you go, you'll get. We could have extrapolated. If you don't go, you won't get. Or could have just said, if you won't go, you won't get. And if you do go, you will get your share. He had to say both. Says Rameya, Kol Tanai, Sheinet Kanai, Bnei Gorim, Bnei Ruven, Enet Tanai. Elo, it represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that holds that we do say, Mechlal Lav at the Shemayahim. Where do we find that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Mechlal Lav at the Shemayahim? It's a Gemara Masech the Gittin. The Gemara Masech the Gittin says that if somebody divorces his wife because she's an islandess, because she could not have children, the halach is that he may not remarry her. Why? Because we're concerned that if he would be allowed to remarry her, what happens if he divorces his wife because she's an islandess? And then she goes and marries another man, and she has children. So the first husband says, if I would have known that my wife is capable of having children, I would have never divorced her. And it turns out that her second marriage is not a legitimate marriage, and her children are mamzerim. So he tells him, if you divorce, it has to be final. But says the Gemara, it's only if when he divorces her, he says he's divorcing her because she's an islandess. And there we have a machlokes Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda. Rameya says he has to express himself, Rameya l'shitasei. If you're an islandess, you're divorced. And if not, not. He has to express himself. And then he's not allowed to remarry her. Yehuda says he just has to say you're an islandess. And he doesn't have to say the other side. So obviously we see according to Yehuda, Mechlal hein at shmei lav, Mechlal lav at shmei hein. So the Rabbi Chanan Vassman, in the Kaibit Shurim, this is the way he writes it, says that he asked Rav Chaim Briska a shayla on this Gemara. He says, we're learning halachas of Tanai Bnei Gorim Bnei Ruven. We're learning Hilchas Nadarim. What does Hilchas Nadarim have to do with Tanai Bnei Gorim Bnei Ruven? That we're comparing the two subjects. So Rav Chaim answered, what does the Tanai Bnei Gorim Bnei Ruven teach us? That we don't say Mechal Lava Teshmei Hein. Bechal Hein Atashmei Lav. It's not just telling us that that's the way a Tanai is supposed to be articulated. What it's teaching us is that halacha doesn't view speech that it could be extrapolated. So it's not only limited to Hilchas Tanoim. It's to all areas of speech. One has to be clear. And if he's not clear, it's not considered that you verbalized yourself properly. And the truth is the stipler uses this concept to answer another shayla. We've been learning for a number of blot the concept of Yodis Nadarim, and that Yodis Nadarim is a legitimate way of making a neder. Ask the stipler, why if somebody said La Carbon, even if we're not going to say it's clear articulation, why is it worse than a Yodis? And we learned that Yodis are an effective way of making a neder. Says the stipler, and this is very geschmack, says the stipler, that what we're learning here is that we're looking at the Gemara, he says, that the Gemara is teaching us a din. That really, if you say the positive, I can easily extrapolate the negative, or vice versa. And the Gemara, the halacha tells us not to do it. Says the stipler, the Gemara is so much deeper. The Gemara is teaching us that this is not considered, extrapolation is not considered a legitimate way of expressing yourself. And not that you should say, I really understood what you meant. The halacha prevents me from following it. It's not called expressing yourself. And that's why it's not even considered Yodis Nadarim. And if we could borrow a Chassidish of art from the Bnei Yisoschir and the Agra de Parka, he says, actually, that's what the Torah tells us. The Torah says that after Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Bnei Gorim Bnei Ruven this condition, they answered, V'yanu Bnei Gorim Bnei Ruven as Moshe Lamer. So the question is, what does the Pasuk have to use the word Lamer? they were having a dialogue with Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Bnei Yisachar says that whenever the Torah uses the word lemor, it's to teach us for future generations. V'yanu Bnei Gora Bnei Ruvein lemor. They were teaching the future generations of Klal Yisrael that the proper way of expressing yourself is by saying the hein and by saying the lav, and not relying on extrapolations. But now the Ran asks another question. The Ran asks that even Reb Meir, who holds that we don't say Mechlal Lav at the Shemei Hein, and Mechlal Hein at the Shemei Lav, that's only by Dine Momenus, when we're dealing with financial issues. By Dine Issava Heter, we do rely on Hein, on Mechlal Hav at the Shemei Hein, Mechlal Hein at the Shemei Lav. Where do we find that? It's a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Bnei Aaron, Yayin v'sheicher al teisht, you shouldn't drink wine, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, so you shouldn't die. And what do we learn from that? That if you do drink, tamusu, you will die. So we see that by Issa we say, Mechlal Lava Tishmeyahim. So here, asked the Ran, Nedarim is Isser. So even Rameis is agreeable to that concept. So the Ran answers that every Neder is really Dinim Omenis. He says why? Because he says a Gevaldig Teretz. As we learned from the beginning of the Masechta, what is the definition of a neder? And it's a cheftza. A cheftza means that you have something tangible. It's a dover momen. So every neder includes in it a dover momen. And by momen, Rameyah says, we don't say Mechla Alav at the Shemayahin. And there's a riot to this fart also in the Torah. From Yehuda. Yehuda said to Yaakov that if I will not bring back Binyamin, I'll be in Chayr. And we know that Yehuda remained in Chayrim forever. And the question is, he made a condition. If he made a condition, why is he remaining in Chayrim? The condition was fulfilled. Baruch Hashem brought back Binyamin. He should have been taken out of Chayrim. So the answer is that he didn't make the condition properly. And our Gemara teaches us that when you make a condition regarding Nedarim, you have to be careful to articulate it properly. Another teretz that the Mefarshim give, similar to what we learned from the Stipler, from Reb Chaim, is that it could be that the Nedarim are considered a Dover Isser. They're considered a Dover Momen, not a Dover Isser. No, I'm sorry. It's considered a Dover Isser, not a Dover Momen. Ira Meir holds that by Dover Isser, we say Mechal Hein at the Shmei Lav, and Mechal Lav at the Shmei Hein. The Dorim are different. Because Nedarim, as we've been explaining so many times, require proper verbalization. And therefore, if we find anywhere in Halacha, that we don't say Mechal Lav at the Shmei Hein, Mechal Hein at the Shmei Lav, that shows that this is not a proper way of articulating oneself, and that's why the Neder is not effective, even though it's a Dover Isser. Ella, so who are we saying is the Tanavam Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda. It follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Even though, as the Ram points out, we do find that Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel also holds that we say Mechal Lav at the Shmei Hein and Mechal Hein at the Shmei Lav. The Gemara doesn't want to say that the Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, because we don't find Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel in these Mishnayos. So just to introduce him doesn't really make sense. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that the ratio of the Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Eim a sefer. We just learned the sefer the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, Eim ha'Eim Yerushalayim loyam a klum. If somebody said Yerushalayim without the chaf, it's klum. So what do we see? Rabbi Yehuda only becomes a man de omer in the sefer. Mid the sefer Rabbi Yehuda, if the sefer the Mishnah represents the opinion of Yehuda, obviously ratio lav Rabbi Yehuda he. The ratio doesn't represent the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So how can we attribute the ratio to Rabbi Yehuda? Answers the Gemara. Kula Rabbi Yehuda hi. The entire Mishnah represents the opinion of Yehuda. Vachtani. You have to add a shin. Share Rabbi Yehuda. You know why you have to use the chaf? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds, Haim Yerushalayim, loy amaklum. You have to say ki Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara. V'chi amakur Yerushalayim Rabbi Yehuda mi mitzer. And if somebody said the word ki Yerushalayim, does it become usher? For Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, even if you use the words Ki Yerushalayim, it's meaningless. So how could Rabbi Yehuda be the Tanya that says Ki Yerushalayim affects the nether? Answers the Achi Yidah Bedova Akar B'Yerushalayim. You have to express a carbon. Answers the Gemara, Kula Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Trei Tanoim, leave it Rabbi Yehuda. There's a machlokes Tanoim what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Everybody agrees that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Yerushalayim itself is not good. There's a machlokes if Ki Yerushalayim is good. The Tan of our Mishnah holds, Rabbi Yehuda holds, that Ki Yerushalayim is a valid way of making a neder. The other Tan that we're going to learn, Mitzvah Shemun Daf Nun Dalid, holds that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even Ki Yerushalayim is not an effective way. What is the machlokes? What are the two opinions of Rabbi Yehuda? One way, this is the way Rush explains, is that there's a machlokes, what was used to build the walls of Yerushalayim. The Tan of our Mishnah says that Shiori Halishka, donated funds, were used to build the walls of Yerushalayim, and therefore, it's like a carbon, which is also brought from donated funds. The Tana that the other Tana holds, the Yerushalayim, was not brought from Shiori Halishka. Another way of explaining the Machlokes, the Tana of our Mishnah says, holds, that when you say Yerushalayim, what do you mean? You mean the food, the Kabbonis that eat in Yerushalayim. So it's referring to Kabbonis. The other Mandama says it's not referring specifically to the Kabbonis eating Yerushalayim, and therefore it's not a Dover Hanodor, it's not an effective way of making Hatfasa. Ramosha, in a lengthy tshuva, refers to this Gemara. Where does he refer to this Gemara? He says somebody came to him, a Rav came to him, and asked him a Shaila, that he has a member of his community that's going to Eretz Yisrael, and he'd like to take off a piece of the Kaisel, a piece of the stone of the Kaisel, as a souvenir. Piece from the Kaisel. Wouldn't you want to have that in your house? And the Rav asks Ramosha if, what should he tell this person? And it's very interesting how Ramosha answers, because usually Ramosha just answers to the halacha. Here Ramosha says, you have to be firm in telling him that it's awesome. And he gives two reasons. One, he says, is that the Kaisel is certainly no worse than any Beis HaKnesses. And the halacha is you're not allowed to take off a piece of the wall of a Beis HaKnesses. The Kaisel is the greatest Beis HaKnesses. We all daven by the Kaisel. The Medrash says in Parashat Shemos that there's a guarantee that the Kaisel will never be destroyed. So certainly you're not allowed to take off a piece of that Beis HaKnesses. Furthermore, he says, if as we're learning in our Gemara, the Kaisel was built from Shiori Halishka, from monies donated, so it's Hegdish, and you're not allowed to be Moil Behegdish, you're not allowed to take a piece of that stone. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Hachulin, kachulin. If somebody uses one of these terminologies, bein she'oichel, bein she'loi oichelach, whether he said, I will eat or won't eat, mutter. So the Ran explains this line of the Braisa. Certainly if he said, what I eat of yours is chulin, so he's essentially saying, I'm allowed to eat your food. So certainly there's no nether. Even if he says, she'loi oichelach, so what are we saying? What I don't eat of yours is chulin. But what I do eat of yours should be considered like a carbon. That's relying on mechlal lavat shmeyahein. And as we're going to learn in a moment, the halacha is, this Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya, that we just finished learning in Amud Aleph, does not subscribe to the concept of mechlal lav at the shmeyahein. L'chulin sh'oichalach, if you use the word l'chulin sh'oichalach, what I eat from you should be not chulin, should be a carbon, asr. So the Ran immediately asks a question. We just finished explaining, the Gemara is going to say it explicitly in a minute, that this Braisa represents the opinion of Rameya. Rameya doesn't hold of Mechlal Lava to Shmeya Hain. But when we say Lachulin, Shoichalach, what I eat of you should not be Chulin, it should be a carbon, that's representing the opinion of Mechlal Lava to Shmeya Hain. So how could the Braisa say that that's Osir, that's a valid way of expressing another? So because of this Kasha, the Ran deletes this line from the Braisa. Other Rishonim don't delete the line, but they say that the word should, and if you look on the side of Gemara, it says it, some of Gemara's, it should not be read as one word, lachulin, it's loichulin. When does Rameya say that we don't say mechlal lava tishmehein? If we say lachulin, so we have to say the la, he didn't say loy, he said la, la means mechlal lava tishmehein. But if he expressly said loy chulin, that's another way of saying carbon, and even Ramey will agree that that's an effective way of making an eder, and that therefore this line of the Braisa could be consistent with Ramey's opinion. Continues the Braisa, lechulin loichalach mutter. This is not an effective way of saying an eder, and we're going to discuss this line more. Reisha, the first thing of the Mishnah, as we explained when we learned it, the Braisa, the first din of the Braisa represents whose opinion? Remeya. Because we explain that the reason it's not a valid neder, because you have to rely on Mechlal Avat HaShemayahein, and Remeya doesn't rely on that concept. Rei Shemani, Remeyahi, the less le Mechlal Avat HaShemayahein. He doesn't follow that concept. Ema Sefer, but let's look at the last case of the Braisa. It said, L'chulin lo'aychalach. If somebody uses the word L'chulin lo'aychalach, mutter. That's not considered a neder. So simply understood, we would say that certainly reflects Ramey's opinion. Because we're relying on a Mechla Lavat Shmehein, L'chulin, and Ramey doesn't hold of that. Ask the Gemara of Atnan, we're going to learn in the Mishnah. And if you'd give him a base, if somebody said L'chulin lo'aychalach, Ramey oyser. Ramey agrees it's a neder. And the question is, how does Remeya hold it's a neder? Doesn't Remeya not agree to the concept of Mechla Lava Teshmehein? The Kashlon. And when we learned the Mishnah right away, we're going to have the Kasha. Halesle, Remeya doesn't hold of the concept of Mechla Lava Teshmehein. So how could he consider it a valid neder? Vomer of Abba, and this is the way the Ran explains the Gemara. Nasal Karbin Yehei, Lefikach Lo Eichalach. Very important comment. In this neder, the person said, L'karben lo'y oichalach. In all of the cases, and you'll have to follow the Gemara, or you'll have to trust me, in all the cases that we had till now, the person said, L'chulin oichalach. So what are we saying? L'chulin, what I eat of yours, oichalach, should be considered chulin, and what I don't eat should be considered a karben. Here the person said, lo'y oichalach, I'm not eating of yours. So since the person used these very strong words, loy oichalach, what I eat of yours, I may not eat of yours, here Ramey agrees that when he used the prefix of lekarbin, we don't have to rely on mechla lava to shmeihein, and it's considered a valid neder. And therefore, even Ramey holds that if somebody used the words lekarbin loy oichalach, it's enough, since he used the second, we have to use the second part of his sentence to help us understand the first part of his sentence. Since he said, lo yoichalach, I'm not going to eat of yours, therefore we say that the la carbon or the lick carbon is to be considered a way of making a neder. Hachinami, here too, hachikama, lo yichulin lahavi, it shouldn't be chulin. Since in the last case of the Mishnah, if we go back, he used the words in the Braisa. Since in the last case of the Braisa, he expressly used the words like oichalach, even though his first words were lachulin. We explain it lachulin, it should not be chulin but a carbon. And even Rameya, who usually doesn't subscribe to mechla lava to shmeya hein, he will say it's a valid neder. Hachinami, hachikamle, loy chulin l'havi, it should not be considered chulin, it should be a carbon, lefikach loy oichalach. So now the question is, here the Braisa says mutter. But if we're saying that Remeya agrees that when somebody says the words lachul, when somebody uses the words loy oichalach, it's an effective neder. The Mishnah that we're going to learn, that if you'd give him a base, how could the Braisa here say, and we're saying that this Braisa follows the opinion of Remeya, so how come the Braisa says mutter? The Braisa should have said osur. That's what Remeya says in that if you'd give him a base. Answers the Gemara. Hai Tana Sovalik Remeya Bechoda or Polakle Bechoda. The Tana of this Braisa doesn't completely agree with Remeya. Sovale Kavasei, he agrees with Remeya Bechoda in the concept the Leslim Chlalava Teshmehen. However, Polakle Bechoda Bekarbon. Because we explained, Rab Abba explained, as the Ran tells us Rab Abba explained, that whenever the words Loi Oichalach are used, even Remeya agrees that it's a neder. Says this Tana, you still have to rely on Mechla Lava to Shmehein. We still have to rely when he said the words L'chulin lo'aychalach. That even though the second part is saying lo'aychalach, but when he says L'chulin, we're explaining it's not chulin but is carbon. This Tana is so opposed to using Mechla Lava to Shmehein, he never relies on that concept, and therefore he doesn't agree with Rameyer and says that when somebody says the words L'chulin lo'aychalach, is still not an effective neder. That's one way of explaining the Braisa. Rav Ashi Amar, Hada Amar Lichulin, Vahada Amar Loy Lichulin. It's a nafkamina, says Rav Ashi, if he has a shva under the lamed, or he has a pasach under the lamed. If it says lachulin, with a pasach under the lamed, so he means lachulin, loy chulin, it shouldn't be chulin, and lefikach loyachal, it shouldn't be chulin, it should be a carbon, lefikach loyachal, and therefore I may not eat it. That's the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. This brisa, however, is referring to a case where there's a shva under the lamed. It says lechulin. It's chulin. So if it's chulin, I'm allowed to eat it. So the nafkamina is, if there's a pasach under the lamed, that's the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and it's a neder, here the brisa is referring where there's a shva under the lechulin, and therefore it's not a neder. Let's read it inside. Hadam lechulin. The mashm loyla have a chulin el carbon. It's nafkamina if it has a pasach or a shva under the lamed. The Ran has another pshat that he quotes in the name of the Ravid. I'm just going to mention it very shortly. He says that the word here is not chulin, it's chalin, which refers to the chalois that were brought with the carbon toida. If he says lichalin, just the opposite. If he says lichalin, it should be like the chalos toida. And therefore, the chalas toida are dover another, and it's osir. Lachulin, it's not like the chalas toida, and therefore it's mutter. We're not going to work with that pshat. So here we learn the concept that there's a difference if he says le or la. If he says le, it means lichulin, it's chulin. If he says lachulin, it means it shouldn't be chulin, it should be carbon. The paiskim tell us that this concept of how we verbalize the words is very relevant in the Yom and the Ram. You know that we say during the Seder Shimei Tshuva, Zecheinu L'chaim. So say the Paiskim that you have to be careful when you say Tefillah, especially it's the Yom and the Ram. You should say Zecheinu L'chaim. Because if you say Chas V'Shalom Zecheinu L'chaim with a Pasach, what are you saying? Zecheinu Loi Chaim. So Chas V'Shalom, you're davening that you shouldn't have life. However, there's an interesting word from the Marsham. The Marsham says that we know, the Gemara says many times, Elokada Meir Anenu. When people had a daven, they used to say Elokada Meir, the God of Rameya. That's the basis for the tztaka of Rameya Balanes. Why Rameya? Says the Marsham, very cute fart. Rameya is the mandom that says that even if you say the Lamed, we don't say Mechlal Lava Tishmehein. So according to Rameya, even if somebody mispronounced the tefillah and said Zechreinu Lachayim, doesn't really make a difference, because he doesn't hold the Mechlal Lava Tashmehein. So we daven Alakad the Meir, the God of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of Rameya, who's not so careful about the way we pronounce words, because we can't extrapolate, rely that even if we didn't daven and pronounce the words properly, you make sure that the tefillahs should come and our tefillahs should be answered. The Mefarshim used this concept that we learn that when it says the Lamed, it means Loi. I saw for a few areas in Halacha. There's a Rashi. The Pasuk says, "Bachaltem lachmechem lasoiva." Rashi says, "Oichel kima." You'll just eat a little, mizbar pameiv, and you'll be blessed. You'll be satiated. So Mefarshim asks, "Where does Rashi know that from?" So they explain, "Bachaltem lachmechem lasoiva," that you won't eat a lot. Loi soiva. The Torah says that even if you won't eat lasoiva, lasoiva, loi soiva, you're not eating a lot. Still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bench us. Another place we find this concept is the Pasuk says, Zois Tyrus, Zois HaTyrus L'Oyla L'Mincha, L'Chatas L'Shlomim, L'Chatas L'Shlomim, U'L'Meluim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Zois Tyrus, somebody who learns Tyrus, is more important than bringing a carbon Oyla, than bringing a carbon Mincha, bringing a carbon Chatas. So first we say, how does the Rava know that? Says based on our Gemara, we could understand it. Zois Tyra, learning Tyra is better than La Oila. I don't need your Oila, because we said La means Loi. La Oila, we don't need your Oila. La Chatas, I don't need your Karmel Chatas. I need your Limra Tyra. But just to end the shir, it's a very nice Chassidus Shavart. Our Gemara is saying is Mechlal Hein at the Shemei Lav, Mechlal Lav at the Shemei Hein. So the Chassidus Shavart explained like this: Mechlal Hein. If somebody says that he's a hain, that he's a somebody, atoshemei alav, you should know that he's really nobody. Mechlal lav, if somebody holds himself like he's a nobody, he holds himself very modest, atoshemei, you should know hain, that he's really somebody.